Welcome to CFRI Cystic Fibrosis Community Voices, a video podcast series created by and for the cystic fibrosis community.
Hello, and welcome to CFRI's CF Community Voices, coming to you from our home studio in Palo Alto, California. I'm Sue Landgraf, Executive Director of Cystic Fibrosis Research Incorporated, CFRI, and I'm very pleased to welcome our viewers and listeners. We have a very special program ahead, but before getting started, I want to thank our generous sponsors, Vertex Pharmaceuticals, Chiesa USA, Gilead Sciences, Genentech, and Proteostasis Therapeutics. I also would like to note that no information presented in this podcast is intended for a patient's diagnosis or treatment. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. Thank you, and let's get started.
Hi, I'm Scott Pinner. I am a 42-year-old with cystic fibrosis. For work, I'm a physician at San Rafael Kaiser, doing physical medicine and rehabilitation. I was diagnosed with CF at 3 years old and am still surviving today through the miracles of modern medicine and lung transplantation. And I'm here to talk about the ability to travel with cystic fibrosis and good planning around it from a patient perspective. So I've been fortunate enough to travel pretty much around the world, through Asia, through Europe, across the United States. And the number one thing I would tell everybody who wants to do travel is to plan ahead, whether that be planning for power, planning for equipment, packing, and in that, the most important thing you can do is to form a checklist. And it's a checklist you want to take with you every time you travel. And it would include your medications. It would include the equipment you would need. And probably should also include major medical centers and or cystic fibrosis centers where you're going to be traveling. Travel is a really incredible thing to do. You learn more about other cultures. You learn more about just how other people live. And to be able to travel with cystic fibrosis is almost its own culture in and of itself because of what you have to do to be able to do it. It's really important when you do pack things like medication so that they don't get lost. It should go in your overhead luggage. You should make sure that you have not just a letter to be able to go through security, but enough medication to last you at least several days if there are delays or otherwise when you're traveling abroad. And just in case, know how to get medication in the places you're going, or probably more importantly is have people that you know where your medications are so that they could be shipped to you should need be, because you never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to get lost. The other most important piece of equipment I have found is to have a universal travel adapter and or a converter for travel. Because whether it be your camera, whether it be batteries, or whether it be your nebulizers or other equipment, it's always going to be important to have some version of power available to you. So it really requires doing a lot of research when you do go to other countries. And what you may find in Central America can be incredibly different than what you're going to be finding in Asia. I think one important thing to be able to be aware of too, especially now that I've had a lung transplant now 3 years ago, is there are medications you may be taking at one time of day that you may not be taking at another. And so time difference and when you're taking medication can matter quite a bit. For example, when we had gone to Ireland with a 12-hour difference, my medications were completely reversed. So what I was taking in the morning was now in the evenings, and what I was taking in the evenings was now taken in the mornings. And one way I've found very useful to be able to do that is I actually have an app on my phone to remind me to take medications, and it will adapt to the time zone that you are in. So it will basically reverse it for you. And as long as you look at that application, you'll know what medication you're supposed to be able to take at what time. But it's very important to be aware of that, especially in a country where you would be, for example, 16 hours off, because you may have to then work over the first couple of days to adapt those medications to something that's a little bit more practical, so you're not waking up at 3 a.m. wherever you are to take medication, unless you want to be up at 3 a.m. So that was an important thing to go into the planning as well that would not necessarily be expected. when you are traveling abroad, it's incredibly important to know the locations of different hospitals that would potentially be available to you. Most serious issues that you would come up against, whether it be hemoptysis and coughing up blood, whether it would be where if you think you're coming down with an infection or you get more short of breath, you want to be as best you can going to a major hospital, whether it be a university, whether it be one of the larger hospitals where you would be traveling to. And if you're lucky, depending on where you go, specifically a CF center, because you never know what's going to happen. And it's important that whoever you are traveling with has that information, or you have it on you if you are traveling alone. Or if you also have the people at home, know where those different places would be. And in that idea, you also probably want to be having people at home know where you're going to be while you are traveling along that way. So being organized and having an itinerary available for people to review, so if something does happen on a certain day, you wouldn't report back or email or do whatever you would supposed to have to do, that someone would be able to find what hospital either you may be at or be able to have people get you to the hospital you would need to be at. So having on a phone, in travel information, close contacts, hospitals that you would possibly want to go to, depending where you would go, would be a good part of the documentation you want to carry. In addition to a letter from your CF provider or your care provider team. Specifically in an Apple iPhone, you can go into the health information and actually put in active medications. You can put in active conditions that you would have so that if something does happen, someone can get into the emergency function of that phone and be able to access those type of information. So it's important on something you are carrying, whether it be in a wallet if you do not have an electronic device available, or in that electronic device, something that can be unlocked if you are unconscious to be able to go look through, is important to have as far as contact information, conditions you have, medications you have, specific doses of those medications. And I probably would even include some of my more recent laboratory results in there potentially as well, so that someone could look those up if something did happen. I've been fortunate enough that as I've traveled, I've never had anything fail or get lost thus far, but I always have a plan for wherever I'm going to be able to remedy that situation should it occur. For example, with equipment, you're probably gonna have to go to one of the local hospitals to be able to try to get a piece of equipment for while you were there. And as far as medications go, it's important not only to know where you might be able to get medication to where you're traveling, but also have someone be able to ship medication to you overnight if necessary, should anything like that occur. And that can include anything from refrigerated medications to other medications up into enzymes or antibiotics or whatever it may be. In that, I also make sure that I have my own care team's phone number available to be able to make phone calls if I need to, and hopefully have made them aware of where I am going so that plans can be made on the fly if that would occur. Having had a transplant, it's been an incredible gift to allow me to do things that beforehand there was no way, even up until 10 years ago, whether it be because of the effort that would be needed to do because of my fear of being critically ill in an area where I couldn't get care. But that comes at a bit of a cost because you're always worried about the immunosuppression and your immune system being low and the potential for infection. So whether it be on an airplane being much more religious about wearing a mask, whether it being aware of crowds in during different seasons, for example, flu season, I would have much more awareness of that at this point and being careful of what I am touching, what I am coming into contact with. So the fears and the level of awareness you have is incredibly different. And I think, whereas before transplant, if I wasn't using electrical devices in my care, I may go to an area that would be much more remote. That would be very hard to do now because time is of the essence with a transplant if you get ill. And you could be critically ill within 24 hours, and that may be a place where you were so rural that that's not gonna happen. And So I'm always aware much more of where I am traveling now and where I would be able to get good care. So while I can do so much more, I'm almost somewhat more concerned in certain areas that I go. And I can't think of one off the top of my head, but it's why the awareness is much more heightened at this point, because I don't want to spoil the good lungs I've gotten. One thing that's been critically important with my family when I travel is my wife and her are always talking about where she would get me if there was an illness that came on quickly and I wouldn't be able to speak for myself. So we will run down which locations we're gonna be traveling to, who she would call, where we would go, and make sure that she would know where to access that information. And that's something I think that's important to do, because it's much harder to think when you're in a situation and you haven't thought about it and you haven't practiced it. You can become paralyzed by that moment. Whereas if you've gone through things ahead of time, you're much more aware and you can be much more calm at remedying that situation. So for most of travel with cystic fibrosis in particular, you're gonna follow what I would call normal travel precautions. When you're gonna go to places where you can't trust the water, which honestly I treat as pretty much everywhere, it's bottled water. I never have ice. I would never have anything that would be rinsed with water and then not cooked. So think of a salad. You really have to be aware of a salad when you're eating it. And that's normal food safety to prevent anyone from getting an infection, let alone with cystic fibrosis, and God forbid, let alone with a lung transplant or any transplant for that matter. So you really just have to practice very, very good, normal food safety, making sure food is cooked and it's cooked thoroughly, making sure you know where stuff has been, never trusting ice, being as careful as brushing your teeth with bottled water so that you never rinse a toothbrush or take a quick swish with tap water, because you won't know what's gonna be in that water. You won't know what those things have been rinsed with. So if there is anywhere I practice food and water safety, it's with any type of travel. And even though Europe should be okay, I would even still do it in an industrialized area like Europe. It's just not worth taking a chance. When we were in Bali, I wouldn't have as much of a concern because it was an outdoor shower. So even though the water may be contaminated, it's gonna be in a much more open air with much more circulation. I think the first thing I do, and honestly, I would do this anyways, I look at the shower and is there a bunch of mold around? You're gonna look at the facilities in and of themselves. I may be wrong about it, but I would probably be a lot less concerned about the shower and the water coming out if it's been running for a little bit than I would be if there was a whole bunch of mold that would be around that shower. And then I don't care if it'd be a week, I might be taking baby wipes and doing a shower with a baby wipe, or you know, a towel and wiping it over me rather than get into a shower like that. So I think a lot of it ends up being just more thoughtful around common sense type of things. I think the two things that have been eye-opening have been places where I can see history, and that's a personal interest. Being able to travel through Ireland and Greece and upcoming into Spain for the World Transplant Games, being able to see history that we just would not have access to in the States is an incredible thing. It's just an active learning trip. And back east as well, so we went through upstate New York, and being able to go through and see history from the 1600s is just something you can't do out in California nearly as easily as you can in other places. And so, you know, I would say for anyone, get out, go to places that you're interested in, but do it in a manner that you can do safely. Choose something that is going to have a little bit more modern convenience to make sure that you can maintain your hygiene. But at the same time, being able to travel through third world countries is an incredible experience you just can't get. My preference most of the time is to travel fairly close. I don't like to get more than about 6 to 8 hours away if I can help it. And part of that's for disaster planning, because it would be easier to get to a center if you're in Europe. You can get to New York, you could get to Florida, you can get to places that are closer than getting back to San Francisco. And it just is less time on a plane. It's not fun to be on a plane often for 16 hours. But at the same time, I wouldn't take back any of the experiences I've had. Most of my travel when I was young was relating to travel soccer teams and sports. So we would travel all over California playing in different places on the weekends. But my family did a reasonable amount of camping. But a lot of that too was back in the day where we didn't have the nebulizer treatments and a lot of the stuff that you would have today. So that changes things a little bit. That being said, you can go camping and have power outlets. There are everything from a solar panel and a Yeti generator to run a nebulizer. You have to make sure it gets powered up, but you can do it. And it may mean you go into town to go charge a battery pack to do, but we're in an age where as a youth, as an adult, you can travel in no other way that would have been possible before because of technology. And to be able to do a 5-minute nebulizer of Casein 3 times a day is a lot easier now than doing an hour and a half of treatments, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. So whether it be the portable nebulizers, whether it be oxygen concentrators, we're just in an age that it's a lot easier. So unfortunately, that wasn't much of a thought when I was traveling when I was young, but it's certainly something as an adult I think about. And I think a lot of the care that an adult would try to arrange for the travel that I do as an adult could easily be done for a child. It's not that much different. A lot of travel and just CF care in general is going to be thinking ahead and speaking up for yourself. It's no fun to go and ask for accommodations, and we all want to try to be normal as we can be and stand out as little as possible. But when it's going to come to your health and the ability to do incredible and wonderful things, the fear shouldn't be about speaking up. It should be doing it so you can go out and get the experiences that you want to get. It's okay to ask for a different seat. I wear my mask pretty much religiously on flights, you know, especially now. Again, I don't know I thought about it when I was younger as much. But my awareness and fear are at a different level from an infection standpoint. We always wipe down everything. My wife is obsessive compulsive about wiping things down. I mean, it could be the rental car that we're getting. You know, it just is easy. It makes sense. And baby wipes or travel wipes or Clorox wipes are the most wonderful things on the face of the earth because you can wipe anything down in a split second. And, you know, that's where you're going to get your infections from. Close contacts, people sneezing on you, things that are very close. And those are the things that you can prevent and change the most. And that should not be the thing that would keep someone from traveling. You know, one thing about travel, it's very important to certainly talk to your CF team. But I think the other thing to always make sure you ask for and not take for granted is talking to either the travel nurse or the travel medicine team for the place you're going, particularly the more rural it's going to be. And that could be everything from the differences that may be required in you because of your medication for malaria prevention. It may be the importance of what antibiotic they would want if you got food poisoning, because everything's going to start interacting. And some of those things, the CF care team may or may not be aware of. I would always get that second piece that would be there. And that usually will tell you the things that you need to be most fearful of that would not be related to cystic fibrosis and what you could do about it. I think if you're going through security and you're going to be searched, I think it's important at that point to make sure you get your letter out, present it, and say, you know, is it okay if you please change a pair of gloves, because infection is an incredibly big deal for me, and that's with transplant or cystic fibrosis, or frankly for anybody, but because it is an incredibly important thing when you're looking through it, because they do touch everything. In fact, if they pat you down, they pat you down often with gloves on, I would ask the same exact thing, and do it in a nice way with that letter that you're presenting it ahead of time, as opposed to, you know, looking like you're being obstructionist about it. So having that letter out and available when you're going through security, even if you don't think you're going to get pulled out, is important to do. For that reason alone, is because infection for almost anybody with travel, but particularly with a chronic condition like cystic fibrosis and or transplant, I think the first thing that you're in your mind is what's touching me or my stuff. And so wiping stuff down, you know, it's the other thing is have those wipes available so that if someone does touch stuff, you can wipe it down immediately, just in case they don't accommodate that part. But yeah, it's a little bit scary when someone's going through all of your stuff and touching it and they have gloves that have been touching thousands of people before you. The vest, I don't know what to do about it because it is every time. And I think it's just because it's so big. But I think I traveled 4 times with it and every single time they pulled it out. And there was nothing, like the nebulizer they wouldn't pull out, but that they would pull out. Maybe it looks worse on an x-ray, I don't know. So one of the wonderful blessings that I and thankfully several other of these CF patients in Northern California are gonna be able to do is go to the World Transplant Games in Spain this year. We have a pretty incredible group of people from Northern California going from cystic fibrosis and lung transplant patients to kidney transplants. And the ability to travel to a country, represent our area, our care teams, and our community in competition is gonna be an amazing gift. And I can't even say how much I'm looking forward to going to Spain with the other transplant patients from our area. I think a normal question is often, where's your favorite place to travel? And I'll just say it's the last place I've been. Because it's always the most fresh in your mind. I mean, and we've been fortunate enough to be, oh gosh, we've been to Belize, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Panama, Puerto Rico's US, but Guatemala. So one of the pictures that is going through is of the Mayan temples in Tikal, which is one of the hardest things actually I've done. Going to the top of that temple with, I think it had to be 200 or 300 steps. I can't remember, it was a lot, with a before transplant. And I think my lung function at that point was about like 40%, was no oxygen, was rough. But amazing. I mean, the view of being up there, the only thing that would have been cooler is if we would have had sunset on a good day. We've been to the Philippines twice, Bali, Thailand, Singapore, Canada, upstate New York, Hawaii 4 times, 5 times. So we've traveled a lot.